As we get into this message, I have longed to preach this message all week. All week. And the more I sit and think about it, the more things pop into my head. Let me show you my notes. I don't do this normally. You see all that? That's not normal. I mean, I usually write, you know, stuff, quite a bit of stuff, but I wrote stuff and then stuff on top of stuff. Okay, so if I don't preach it, maybe I'll put it in a book, okay? So anyway, I have a lot of information. I hope I can get through all of it. But I would ask you today, open your minds, open your heart, and listen really carefully today, okay? There might be some teaching in this, there might be some preaching, heck, I don't know. But title of this message is Fishing for Digits. And you're probably thinking, what the heck is a digit? Is that a tribe? No, it's not a tribe. I'll get to it here in just a second. It's called Fishing for Digits, D-I-D-Y-A apostrophe S, digits. I was watching, I like to watch, you know, YouTube and listen to ministry in the mornings when I'm about to eat breakfast and get up and go hang out with the kidsy widsies at the school. And I was listening to Table Talk with Joni Lamb. How many of y'all listen to her? Y'all, anybody listening? Okay. It just really warms my heart listening to Joni on those, you know, in the mornings, because it's like a morning thing. Everybody's sitting around the table. They're all drinking coffee. And they always have a special guest. And Corey, a couple of weeks ago, Corey had talked about having grit. And he talked about, you know, Acts chapter 9, when Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he talked about depressed people and getting rid of unforgiveness. And today, the topic is unforgiveness. So, I was watching Table Talk, and I've also, I don't know, did y'all see this week, you know, how the Auburn coach, did y'all see that? The Auburn football coach in Auburn school, they baptized all those people, and it made a bunch of people mad. Oh, that's too bad. That's just really, really something. I mean, what do people have with people doing something good? I don't know what the heck's wrong with these people, but anyway, they were persecuted for that, and I think the head football coach was there. So I was listening to Table Talk, and R.T. Kendall was on there, and I don't know who R.T. Kendall is. I've probably seen him a long time ago. I didn't even know the guy existed. But he was on there. So he's an older minister. He's been around for years. He's obviously somebody that Joni knows really well. She had R.T. Kendall on. And when he said something in an interview, it stuck with me. He said the darkest hour of his life was when an old friend gave him some advice about when a mentor had betrayed him. So he had this mentor, and this mentor had, I guess, you know, done him wrong or whatever. He said his finest hour in 25 years could be narrowed down to 15 minutes. A 15-minute conversation with an old friend. And this is what that friend told him. He said, you must totally forgive them. Totally. He said, you'll be in chains. Release them and you will be released. Now, I know that's pretty simple. That's a vague, you know, that's a pretty vague statement. For most of y'all, y'all are like, yeah, I've heard this sermon before. Talking about getting rid of something that's on your heart that you can't let go of. And then he said, he let them off the hook. So I'll get to that here in just a second. He said it inspired him to write a couple of books. One of them was Joni's favorite. He asked God to bless them. He had another testimony of having to bless someone that wronged his family. And this person that wronged his family walked into church one day at the very back. He couldn't focus. He lost all focus. He got distracted. And you just got to go watch the testimony. But God was sitting over here. He got over here to the side, and God's telling him, you're going to have to forgive me. He said, you're going to have to forgive that person. So he said, forgive them right now. Bless them. He goes, you ever done this before? You know, God tells you to bless them, and you're like, all right, God bless them, you know. Instead of, I turn them loose, you're like, yeah, God, you know, bless them. I forgive them, you know, I bless them. And it's just mediocre. Okay. And I was re-watching this morning another one on Joni Lamb. And then Miss Kendall was on there, Anna Kendall. I don't know if she's Kendall or T, but anyway, her last name's Kendall too. And she said on a different Joni talking, you know, table talk with Joni Lamb, she said, if you don't forgive, you relive. If you don't forgive, you will relive over and over and over and over. So, I have a little illustration for you. You can go ahead. As I was sitting there, it'll take a second to come up, I guess. It's got a transition, it's got a toggle. As I was sitting there and I heard the term, I let them off the hook. I began to draw this. I started with the fishing pole. Now, if you can't see that, are y'all on this on the camera? Y'all good? Okay. For the internet. If you can't see from back there, I started drawing this fishing pole right here. And I'm not an artist, by the way. So don't be laughing, because I'll show you where I messed up, like right here and, you know, right here. You know, after you draw something, you're like, dang it, I forgot to draw the hand, you know, that's supposed to be holding something. Then you got to go erase lines. So I just drew it the best I could. I even, because I had this thought in my head, and I even had to go find characters online, and I had to, it's called imitating. So I tell kids this all the time. You learn this in art class. You don't see a rectangle. You see a rectangle laying on a table. So you have to teach kids how to draw. You draw what you see. You have to imitate what you draw. So I started with the fishing pole, and I did a really, really great and good job with that fishing pole. Okay, so I'm going to try to explain this the best I can, and then I'm going to get into unforgiveness and explain what fishing for digits mean. You'll probably figure it out if you can't see from the back, on the front of this guy's shirt right here, it says Digi wrong. First name Digi, last name wrong. So I drew the fishing pole, and I'm using the old pointer, by the way. It's what amazing teachers do, right? I started drawing the fishing pole, and then I drew this guy, and I messed up, so it kind of looks like it's got him by the hair. And maybe it does, I don't know. But I messed up, and I was like, okay, I can still make this look like the shirt, but you can see he's elevated off of the ground. And he's got a question mark above his head. Y'all ever seen those political cartoons? Y'all kind of know where I'm going with this, right? You ever seen those political cartoons where they draw Biden and then they show a thing over here with inflation, or they show Trump and he's got fire coming out of his ears, you know? You see political cartoons on the news a lot. So that's kind of where I got this. Mind you, I'm not an artist. Just remember that, okay? And then I drew right here the accuser. If you can't see what his shirt says, it says accuser. And if you can't see from the back, I'm going to try to steady this. Right here, there is an arrow pointed to the left, to the right. It's his left, my right. And it's an outline of the devil passing this fishing for digits off to this guy who looks like a big doofus anyway. But you can see he's running hastily. His hat flew off. He's left the ground. He's trying to get to that fishing pole as fast as he can. And then there's this guy. Now, it looks like this is the sun, but it's not. It's God, and Jesus is interceding to the Father. And I drew, now this is a big hand right here, okay? That's not drawn to scale. I'm not an artist, did I tell you that? But it's got this dude by the collar. And it's Jesus' hand reaching out, trying to stop this guy from grabbing the fishing pole. And if you can't see what it says back there, it says weight of unforgiveness. How much does this guy weigh on your fishing pole of unforgiveness? And don't think for a second that the devil won't put a 500-pound test line on that fishing pole. You can see right here, of course, this is the fishing hook, and he's like got his hands up, okay? So what I first of all want to do, okay, so everybody's got the picture, right? Because it takes a while to toggle back to it, so I may not come back to it, okay? There's a hook around this guy's collar, and he's elevated, and he's Mr. DiGerome, or Mrs. DiGerome. Y'all can get off there now. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. If you want to find 1 Peter in Romans 12, you can also do that too. I want to focus on Mr. DiGerome. First of all, now a lot of people think, well, why do we want to pick on Mr. Didger? After all, you know, he's not the one on the other end of the fishing pole, right? He's the guy that's on the hook. He's the guy that the other guy doesn't like. I want to read you something out of Matthew 5, and I'm going to read out of the message. Now, I will be back in the Amplified and all that here in just a second. But I want to read out the message for just a second. He says, now this is talking about the guy on the hook. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. He says, abandon your offering. Now, I'm gonna say this too. If you walked up here and gave this morning just because the preacher said so, and you put money in the offering bucket and said, you know, I'm a good person, you know, I gave an offering, but you're Mr. Didja or Mrs. Didja, this is what God is telling you to do. He said, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. He says, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Now watch verse 25. He says, or say you're out on the street and an old friend accosts you. Don't lose a minute, he says in the message. Don't lose a minute. Watch this. He says, make the first move. Make things right with him. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his track record, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even in jail. And if that happens, the Bible says, you will not leave until you pay every single penny. Some of y'all probably know those kind of people. You know, those Sue Happy people or somebody that, you really did them wrong. And they're just, you know, wondering, you know, is it worth it for me to go take this guy to court and get what I need out of him? I'm trying to remember exactly how the scripture says it, but a soft word turns away wrath. You could have done this guy wrong worth thousands of dollars worth of wrong. And if you go and make it right, that dude may forgive you. Guess what? You just made your money back right there. Because of what? A soft word. He says, make the first move. If you're the guy on the end of that fishing pole and you know you did somebody wrong, you make the first move. You go and fix it. Because I can guarantee you, he's probably over there, she's over there somewhere, I guarantee you, still meditating on it. And if not for yourself, do it for them. Set them free. It's an opportunity for both of you to grow. Not just for you, but for both. If this is you, go fix what's been broken. Now, I heard a pastor say this one time. It was most amazing. Set me free from a lot of things. Let me tell you something. This is what he said. Anything that's been broke can be fixed. Anything. I used to have family that would get upset. You know, when my kids were little, they always wanted to play with balls in the house. We didn't care. I'm like, if the kid wants to run around and throw stuff all over the place, he breaks a mirror or whatever, so what? Go buy another one. Is it worth turning off your kid's imagination for a single little old mirror hanging on the wall? And I had family that would get upset about all that, and I'm like, okay, we're not in my house, we're in your house. They were always afraid that the kids were going to break something. I'm like, if they break it, I'll buy you another one. I don't care. There is nothing on this planet worth getting upset over. Anything broke can be fixed. Don't leave opportunities for others to go fishing because of something you did. All right, is everybody still here? I didn't hear many amens on that one, buddy. am I talking to you today? I hope so. I'm talking to myself too. Amen. This is for everybody. It ain't just, you know, it's for me too. Okay, now, 1 Peter chapter 5. Now let's move to that ugly looking creature that had the pointed boots on, the accuser. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you want to find Romans 12 while you're doing that, you can. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. He says, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined in the Amplified. Be alert and cautious at all times. My friends, let me tell you something. You better learn. That's what we used to tell people in football. When you're a safety or a cornerback, you always have your head on a swivel. Okay? You're always looking at the quarterback, looking at the receiver, looking at the quarterback, looking at the receiver, looking at the quarterback, looking at the receiver. You have your head on a swivel. Why? So you can make the interception, right? So you can take away from them their opportunity to score on you. Head on a swivel. Same in basketball, it's always head on a swivel. Where's the ball? Where's my man? Where's the ball? Where's my man? Okay, I got both of them. He throws it to my man, I got him. If he throws it to my man, I've got my eyes on the ball and the man. He says, be sober and be cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry. When I said earlier that the devil wants to destroy you, he wants to take from you just as bad as God wants to bless you. He is fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. If there's anything that Satan wants for you, the number one thing Satan wants for you is for you to be dead. Now, if you're living like hell and you're doing a good job for him, that's fantastic, but really, ultimately, he wants you dead. He wants you dead before you get saved. He wants you dead before you ever go to church for the first time. He wants you dead before you ever hear that song on K-Love that's going to set you free. The devil wants you dead. You've got to have your head on a swivel at all times. Yes, I'm being blessed. Oh, wait, hold on. I feel something. I hear something. Oh, somebody's saying something. Oh, my family's this. My family's that. Oh, I hear a friend at work saying something. You better have your head on a swivel. Prosperity is a great thing, and I'm telling you, you can be blessed, but I'm telling you, when you're looking one way, you're blind to another. You can have your eyes on prosperity, and the devil's working back here. You only got eyes looking, you know, God gave you eyes in the front of your head. He didn't give them, you know, he didn't put it, you know, eyes behind you. And if you notice, animals, they have the ability to not just see back. They can see back. Some of them can see back. If you're a what are those little chameleons, those little lizards? They can turn their eyes around. You're not a chameleon. You're not a lizard. Amen. But you notice all animals have the ability to point their ears forward, but they also have the ability to point them backwards. Why? Listening for the enemy. Listening for predators. You don't have the ability. You got ears, but your ears are always facing, you know, forward, and your eyes are always forward. You have to realize something. When you're looking this way at all the good things, the devil's working behind the scenes to do something to take that away from you. Okay? You don't fight lions by throwing Skittles at them. Okay? Don't feed the sucker. Kill him. Don't feed him. Don't go grab the fishing pole and say, yes, yes, thank you, devil. I've been wanting to get that sucker. Now, if you remember, on that fishing pole, there was a reel. You know what that reel's for? Oh, I got him now. Now let's reel him in for the kill. Let's get him. Let's really get him this time. When on the flip side, you know, you've always heard this, that the guy that's over there that you're upset at, Mr. Didja, He don't even know you're upset at him, and he don't care. Mr. Didge is hurting you, and he ain't having to do anything. He's renting space in your brain, taking up space in your mind for free. Okay, now, moving right along. Romans chapter 12. Now, I want to watch this. This is, okay, now if I was subheading all this, you could call this number three, I guess. Number three would be cut the line. Cut the line, okay? Now, you're going to see in Romans 12 how we cut the line. Is everybody at Romans 12? I'm going to take you through as many of these scriptures as I can. I want to show you what it takes to cut the line. If you got a hold of that fishing pole, somebody did you wrong. If you're on the internet, maybe somebody did you wrong. I'm going to show you how to cut the line and say, I'm letting you off the hook. It's over. I'm done. I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm not going to meditate on it. Meditation is one of the most, it's the most important thing that you have to learn. Because rich people will tell you that imagination, because it's always in your head, isn't it? The fight is always right here, isn't it? Y'all have heard that said, you know, the fight's always between your ears. It absolutely every time is. Imagination is the highest form of thought. You want to get rich? Use the imagination. Okay? What does the Bible say about meditation? It says, meditate on this word day and night. When you go to sleep, you're thinking about it. When you're sleeping and you're dreaming. You ever had dreams about, you know, the word or somebody, maybe you're dreaming about how to bless somebody. You have dreams. I don't know if y'all dream. I dream every single night. I know some people, they go to bed, they wake up the next day, they don't know nothing. They ain't feel nothing. They just woke up. Meditation is very important. It is the thought process. It is the mind that you have to take authority over, or this enemy, the accuser, will run you smooth out of your house. It's always up here. The imagination, the meditation, it's always between the ears. I'm going to show you how to cut the line, okay? Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, amplified, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent. What does intelligence mean? The mind. Intelligent isn't the body. Intelligence is the mind. It's knowledge. It's your rational act of worship. It's a sacrifice to have to forgive somebody. It is a sacrifice. You're going to have to put it on the altar and kill it. Remember what we talked about in tithes and offerings and also in the communion? You got to change this. You got to change the inside before you see it happen on the outside. It doesn't happen out here till it first happens in here. You got to put pride on the altar. It is amazing how much pride is always the center of every single problem you will ever have. Anybody that did you wrong, anybody, Mr. Did You Wrong, if there's a problem with that person, I can guarantee you, and you're still meditating on it, it is your pride not letting it go. You are so focused on how wrong they did you, you can't focus on the right things with that person. There's a lot of good things about those people that you have a problem with. You don't know, and you may never know, because of your pride and your lack of the ability to forgive. Verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed and progressively changed. Progressively means you're always being altered. You're always growing from what you used to be to what you should be. It says, as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, His plan and purpose for you. It takes a renewed mind to forgive. Baby Christians are not good at this stuff. But you are. You know why? Because you've been to church, you've listened to the Word, you started reading the Word, you've read books about forgiveness, you've read books about money, you've read books about what it means to be a Christian. Now you're starting to grow. You are progressively changing. Things are changing now. Baby Christians have a hard time with this. They're new to this. All they know is that something came to them, made them feel good, and they raised their hands that I believe in Jesus. I received Jesus. Now they have to start growing. Because the old man was in them for so long, and it's really hard when you're an adult to have to change. When you're a kid having to change, it is a lot easier. When you get saved as a kid, you can start changing then. You don't even know you're changing, but you are. Now when you're an adult and you bring all that hell with you, and then all of a sudden you get saved, whoo, it's hard to turn loose of them bad habits. It's hard to turn loose of forgiveness or unforgiveness. It's hard to turn loose of that somebody that's on the end of that fishing pole that you're reaching so hard for, and Jesus is up there interceding for you. And you're out there just like, oh, you're like a, you ever had one of them dreams where you feel like you're running from something and it feels like you're going, oh, and they're coming. No, you know. It looks like one of them shows where they go, no. You know, like The Matrix. Remember the... And you're just trying to run so fast, and you can't run fast enough in your dream, then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh, thank God it was a dream. Thank God. Progressively... Oh, thank you, Lord. That's really good. Thank you. Progressively doesn't have a speed limit. You can change as fast as you want. You can change as fast as you want. Jesus said there's no speed limit. You want to change right now, we'll do it. If you want to hang on to some of that pride, Jesus is up there interceding for you. You can change as fast. Oh, that is so, man. Yes. Jesus is behind me right now. There's no speed limit. You can go as fast as you want to. You can be a scumbag for 30 years and get saved and be changed immediately and start doing the right thing. Or you can just take your time and just wait for Jesus to come back and get us and hang on to that pride and hang on to that fishing pole with that weight of unforgiveness. Long as you want to. Jesus will let you go fishing as long as you want to. He is not going to rip the fishing pole out of your hand. Isn't fishing a choice? Am I right? I mean, when you old fisher guys, I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a hunter. You're like, is this guy really a cowboy? No, I'm a cowboy. I don't like fishing. I'll fish. But it's like, you know, go out deep sea fishing and somebody else puts the bait on for me. I can put the bait on. I'm not scared of that. But the last time I went deep sea fishing, for 8 hours, I get back on land and I'm like, hey, let's go again, you know. Just, you know how you get back to land and all of a sudden you just feel better all of a sudden. Am I right that going fishing, I'm talking about real fishing, not fishing for digits. Going fishing is a choice. You got to go buy the lures. You got to go buy the boat. You know, some of y'all buy the boat. Some of y'all buy the fishing pole. It's a choice. You can be the best fisherman on the planet. But every single bit of it is a choice. You choose to buy the boat. You choose to buy the fishing pole. You choose to buy the lures. You choose to put $5, you know, that $5 gasoline or diesel in your truck. You drive down to the coast for 3.5 hours away to go fishing. Because you want to. Okay, now watch this. This is really where it gets interesting. Watch this. Verse 3. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of himself. What the heck does that have to do with forgiveness? The revelation I got was, anytime there's unforgiveness, it's usually you think you're better than them. Oh boy. Loosen up the old straps. We're getting serious right here. When you start looking at that person, when you start looking at Mr. Didja the way Jesus sees Mr. Didja, you start realizing that God loves them too. Amen. And I don't care what you think about the highest level of government. Yes, there's a lot of didges up there. Okay? They're at the local level, they're at the federal level, they're at the state level. No matter how many of those didges are up there, God loves them. Do not think more highly of yourself than them. When you say, give me that fishing pole, that's you saying, you're a sorry son of a no good for nothing dirtbag. I'm going to reel you in, and I'm better than you. I remember probably a couple years ago when I'm driving in traffic, I've probably talked about this. I used to be like, wow, them suckers cut me off. And then I remember times when I cut somebody off and I wanted forgiveness. So now instead of spreading, you sorry, no good for nothing, cut me off like that. Don't you know that we're all ants in the same ant bed? We're all here together. Can't we all just get along and drive correctly? I don't care how bad that person is. There are people getting saved on death row. Watch Mike Barber's ministry. There's people getting saved on death row. There are people, and you can say to yourself, you know, he's a murderer. He deserves to die. Let me tell you something. We're all murderers. We've all stolen. We've all sinned. We've all done it. The world will classify sin. Jesus sees it as sin, no matter how bad it is. And trust me, I feel the same way. You know, somebody, you know, you look at people on death row and they did some horrible things. You're right. The world will put them in a category. Don't you do the same. Let the world, let the dead bury the dead. Jesus says, come with me. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the world do what it does. You keep doing what I'm doing. Do not think more highly of yourself, but have sound judgment. Verse 3, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and purpose designed for service. When you can't forgive, in a way, you're basically saying that I'm better than that person. And in a way, you probably are spiritually. But don't grab that fishing pole. Forgiveness is it's the highest rated topic on God's list. All of Christianity is based on what? Forgiveness. If Jesus was willing to die for all of us, it shouldn't be we be willing to forgive all of us? I mean, if we're going to serve Jesus, if we ain't going to serve Jesus, you know, let's go do something else. Then we can grab that fishing pole anytime we want to. But if you're going to serve a God that's above everything and Jesus who has a name above everything, and if he has a name, just his name is above everything. If we're going to serve him, we're going to have to start changing our character and quit thinking that we're better than the Mr. Didja and start living like Jesus. Now watch this, verse 9. He says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, which without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly, tightly, hold on tightly, not to the fishing pole, but to what is right. See, if you're going to forgive, let me tell you something. You know what's one of the hardest things for people on this planet to do? It's a really, really tough word that a lot of people are not very good at. The word is called commit. There are people that are saved but don't want to commit to tithing. There are people that are saved don't want to commit to forgiveness. There are people that are saved don't want to go to church. People that are saved don't want to do this. Christianity takes a commitment. Yes, you might be like the head football coach at Auburn being persecuted for baptizing somebody. Who cares? Amen. I got kids all the time talking about stuff at school. I'm like, since when did you start caring about what they say? Well, they said I didn't do push-ups correctly. So? There's a lot of us that didn't know I'd do push-ups correctly. There's a lot of people don't know how to do sit-ups either. get out of here. Toughen up. Get back over there. I tell kids this all the time. If y'all ever ran cross country, how many of y'all ran cross country? Exactly. 2% of you. How mentally tough do you have to be to run 2 miles? Spit's falling out of your face, and you're like, and I'm over there like, you only got 100 yards. Yeah, but I just ran them a mile and 3/4. You got to be mentally tough. You got to be able to finish like, I don't care how far I've ran. I've only got 100 yards to go. Oh, there's the water bucket. Oh, then you speed up. How mentally tough do you have to be a Christian? You better be really tough. You live in China or somewhere like that, you better put on the helmet and shoulder pads. United States, you could be somewhat tough. It's getting worse. But we still have freedom, right? We got it real good compared to some people. Do not tolerate wickedness. When you start tolerating it, here comes the accuser with the fishing pole. He's like, hey, I got you one right over here. Here he is. Why? Because you tolerated wickedness. You allowed the roaring lion to come into your house and sit down at your dinner table and say, here, have some steak. Yes, I would love some. Oh, this is good. Watch number 10. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Guys, we're all one family here. We help each other out. Give preference to one another in honor. How hard is it to let go of the pride, set it over here, and honor your didja and raise them up to a new level? And you know what? It really doesn't even matter. As long as you honor them, it doesn't matter how they respond. All that matters is that you honored them, and now God can do what? Honor you. Remember what I've said about God? God says, if you do this first, I will do this second. It's always been like that. If you become a tither, I'll take care of your money. If you receive Jesus, you'll go to heaven. There's always number one and always number two. You do this, I'll do this. Honor the didja with authentic forgiveness. Now, does that mean you're going to forget what happened? Probably not. But now you won't be meditating on it. And that's the point. It's okay to remember what somebody did to you, because that's how we live in life. You remember, okay, this person did this. Okay, I'm not going to exactly trust them in the accounting department. If they're thieves, might take them on as a worker maybe, but they're dang sure not going to handle the money. You still have to use wisdom. It's like, you know, you forgive them, but that doesn't mean you trust them. You don't have to trust them. You can forgive them. That's on you. Trusting them is the wisdom part. You know, how much trust you willing to give them? Oh my gosh, I got so much to talk about. Verse 18, I'll skip down. He says, if possible, as far as it depends on you. He says, live at peace with everyone. You remember that scripture? I forgot where it was, but Paul said, he said, I am all things to all people. Can a cowboy minister to a guy riding a skateboard? You better believe it. Can a goody two-shoes minister to people on death row? You better believe it. Being all things to all people, as long as it depends on you, because I'm here to tell you that it does. It will always depend on you. It will always depend on you for your own peace. Your peace depends on you. Mr. Didja can take care of himself. Let him figure it out. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Verse 21. Do not overcome and it says, do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. Aren't some of these scriptures so simple, aren't they? I know y'all have heard this before. Y'all probably heard this same sermon before. I bet you never saw the Champion Artist illustration, though. Yeah. Focus on the good. God will handle the digits. Know this, that hardship produces confidence in the ability to conquer. Think about it. Everything that you're good at. Now, it doesn't have to be this way. Everything you're good at, you went through something hard to get there, didn't you? And what's even more character building is the fact that you made it through it. Yeah, it was hard. Might have hurt your back a little bit. Meditated on the wrong things. Dealt with some thieves in your business. Maybe somebody did you wrong in your business. Like Corey. Corey can tell you a story about he left somebody in charge of his landscaping business. They ran off with the truck, the trailer, and everything that was on it. He found it in a pawn shop. Hardship produces confidence in the ability to conquer. That's where God wants you. Just think about it. Now, it's not supposed to be this way. You shouldn't have to go through tough stuff to get to the blessing, right? But let me tell you something. If you did, it was well worth it. It was worth every penny it cost, and you got there, and now next time something like that happens, it's going to be like smooth sailing. Oh, I've seen this before. I've seen that guy before. I've seen what he's done. I've had that problem in the past. Let me fix that right now. Hardships produce confidence. It's not meant for you to have to go through hardship, but if you do, it produces confidence. Never despise an enemy. When there's an enemy, it's an opportunity to walk through a new door. David didn't look at Goliath and say, "You know what, guys? He is pretty dang tall. I'm out of here." Is that what David did? No, he walked down there like, "Give me some stones. I'm knock this sucker out." David knew that that tall giant standing out there on the hill making fun of his God was an opportunity. And I'm sure David was thinking, "And I get the king's daughter." That's what he was probably thinking. "Hell, I get the king's daughter. I don't have to wear your uniform." Remember, they tried to put the uniform on him, they put the shoulder pads, the helmet, and gave him a big old sword. It was all too big. Walks out there with a slingshot. How would you like to be the king with a slingshot? Not a 30-30 rifle with a scope on it, but a slingshot. 5 smooth stones. Those stones had been in the river for years, being molded and molded and molded. Those stones were being perfected. And then when he put that sucker in the sling, it flew with precision. Didn't hit him in the chest. You know how they always say in football, "Man, that dude's a big target." Quarterbacks love big targets. You know why? They're easier to hit. He didn't look at that guy and say, "You know, if I hit him in the chest, I might knock him down. Then I'll be able to run over there and kill him." No, he just trusted God and just slung it. And one in a lifetime shot. Now, I've got a lot of scriptures here, and I'm not going to be able to go through them. I want to go through one thing right here before I close, though. A lot of people think that when they are walking in unforgiveness, that they are alone. I've got a ton of scriptures on being alone. And I'm here to tell you, aloneness is one of the hardest things to conquer. Because you think in your mind that nobody else is going through what you're going through. And you think to yourself that nobody's ever been through this before. I'm here to tell you that that is nowhere close to the truth. Aloneness is an opportunity for the enemy to move in and put you in a state of depression, which also leads to suicide. Do not allow the enemy to convince you that you're alone in this. If you want the scriptures, I'll give them to you after service or whatever. They're just scriptures I found online. A lot of them are in Psalms, and it talks about, you know, God saying, you know, if you are the abandoned, if you've ever been heartbroken, if you've ever been abandoned by mom and dad, you know, "I'm your daddy." God is saying, "I'm your daddy." You lost your husband? He said, "I'm your husband." You are never alone. When you feel that spirit of aloneness come on you and you start thinking to yourself that you're the only one that's ever dealt with this, think again. You ever heard that statement? It says, think again. Because thinking is one thing. Thinking again is a whole nother ball game. Thinking gets you started in the battle. Thinking again helps you win the battle. Now, as I close, I don't even have time to go through this one here. But in Hebrews chapter 4, if we're going to the Jesus part, He is our intercessor. He is in heaven interceding for you. And if you think He's not, you're lying. The devil is lying to you. He cares about every single person in here. He's not just praying for the preachers. He didn't just pray for Billy Graham. He doesn't just pray for all the pastors that are on television. He cares about you. And I'm here to tell you that if you've reeled in that fish, and I wrote this down, it's so good. If you reeled in that fish, throw it back in the water. Throw the fish, throw the pole, throw everything back in the water. And cut the line before the line snaps, and so do you. If that line ever gets to the point where that fish is too big to handle, and that line snaps, guess what happens? You snap. That's when depression walks in. That's when the accuser walks in and says, yeah, you can't handle this Christianity stuff. All that church, they don't know what they're talking about. You can't handle being on this earth. Why don't you just kill yourself? Why don't you just die? Why don't you just get rid of yourself? Cut the line before it snaps. If you caught the fish and you've really meditated on it, throw it back in the water. Throw it into, like God does, throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And never go fishing again. Let it go. I know it's painful. I know it hurts. But if you watch anything on, that's all I've watched on Joni Lamb. All of these people that have been through stuff. I'm telling you some stuff they've been through that, you know, you think your problem's bad. Go listen. I mean, if you ever want to feel better about yourself, go listen to somebody else that has a problem worse than yours. Then you won't think so much of your problem anymore. Then you won't feel alone. Then you won't say to yourself, well, I'm alone in this. No, I'm not. That person went through it too. And he's a high-level ranking minister that travels the world. R.T. Kendall said, I let it go. I cut the line. I let him go. I let him off the hook. I let him. I let her off the hook. I turned him loose. And he said that was the most important 15 minutes out of 20. 15 minutes out of 25 years. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, the one that's interceding for you right now, if you don't know Him, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to receive Him. Do not miss this chance. Now, if you're saved, that's great. Next step for you is growing up. Progressively, as fast as you want to go. If you're not saved, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, today you have an opportunity. We never close the service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. Now, if you need prayer and all that, you know, if God tells me to do that, it's fine. If not, I can meet you after church, whatever. But right now, the most important decision of your entire life, your 50 years on this earth, your 40 years, your 30 years, your 26 years on this earth, nothing is more important than this decision right now. If you've never received Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And we're all going to pray the prayer together with you. Be some comfort to you. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to get serious with God right now if you've never received Him. I want you to pray this prayer and say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe You, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and my unforgiveness and my pride And I turn it loose today, and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, you prayed the prayer and you meant it, you received Jesus for the very first time. On the count of three, all I'm going to do is ask you to raise your hand. Okay, and by raising your hand, you're saying, that was me. I prayed the prayer. I meant what I said. I received Jesus for the very first time. Nobody's looking around. It's just us. Just me. If that was you, on the count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? Good. Okay, that means that everybody in here is saved. Amen? Now it's time to get in the car and go fast. It's time to get in there. Go ahead and put it in overdrive. And let's grow. If you're all saved, that means you're all responsible for everything I just said. No condemnation, right? It's on you, Betsy. Come on.